Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Using Net Price Calculators to Talk to Students conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Scott Jasik. Sir, you may begin.
Hello, I'm Scott Jasik, editor at Inside Higher Ed. This fall, colleges will face a new federal requirement having in place net price calculators to help prospective students and their families figure out how much they're likely to pay to attend. Now that colleges have these set up or are putting the finishing touches on them, the question shifts to how do you use them to talk to prospective students, to talk to parents about college costs and about making informed choices about where to enroll. Our presenter today is Peter S. Bryant, who is Senior Vice President of Noah Levitz, and through that position has consulted more than 350 colleges on enrollment and admission strategies. And earlier in his career, he was an on-campus enrollment official, so he knows these questions from the campus level as well. He's going to talk for about 30 minutes, then we'll have a Q&A. If any of you did not receive the PowerPoint, email me at info@insidehighered.com, and I'll get it for you right away. For now, let's start. Peter, welcome.
Thanks so much, Scott, and thank you so much for joining us for this audio conference sponsored by Inside Higher Ed this afternoon. I appreciate this opportunity to participate and hope that you find it helpful. While we here at Noah Levitz do these kind of webinars and audio conferences all the time, I would just soon be in a room with all of you for eye and face-to-face contact. That is by far my preference, but really glad that we're having this opportunity today. Let me begin by saying that we're charting new territory with the required introduction of net price calculators. And while I've been involved on behalf of Noah Levitz in presenting the features and benefits of the net price calculator that we've developed to assist colleges and universities, I'm quick to tell you that I had to think through each of the topics that Scott and the staff put together and asked me to address. In short, while many institutions have voluntarily had cost calculators, scholarship calculators, other types of measurements to help students and families better understand the financial assistance available and the possible net price, the federal mandate now represents a standard for all institutions in determining the cost to attend. So in the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to share some thoughts on each of these suggested topics. And my comments are based on initial experience as we continue to develop and implement the calculator for now over 200 partner institutions. And very importantly, these initial thoughts are intended to generate your ideas and your suggestions on how best to use the net price calculator to talk to students and parents, and ultimately, which is what we're trying to do, is to increase access to higher education. So the final 30 minutes or so will be your time, and we are hopeful that you'll share your ideas as well as pose some questions. If you take a look at the overview of the presentation there on page one, these, as you will note, are the six topics suggested by Scott Jasik and that prompted your interest in this audio conference. And I'm going to follow them step by step and share some of the thoughts with you as we go through the time that we have together. Number one are the concerns and issues that led to the requirement that colleges have net price calculators. The ability to pay and the willingness to pay for ever-increasing costs of higher education has, as you all know, been a major issue and concern for many years, even before the recent economic downturn. And if you move to now page three, you can see here that the annual College Board trends in college pricing quickly demonstrates the fact that tuition and fee charges have risen substantially each year over the last 30-plus years. And again, to the second slide on that page, with comprehensive costs continuing to rise anywhere between slightly under 4% to some 6.6% at public and private institutions, with the public sector responding to increased financial pressures by raising the comprehensive costs even more than the private sector. On page 4, as we move, this visual shows that comprehensive costs at both four-year public and private institutions have more than doubled during this time period, emphasizing again how price sensitivity and affordability are ever-growing issues for students and families, as well as for institutions. The next slide and the final graphic that I'll show here, the financial graphic, shows a part of the reason that it's increasingly important for institutions to demonstrate net price early in the college selection process. You know, let's look at the distribution of full-time undergraduates at four-year institutions by published tuition and fees. And you can see here that about a little over 1 in 5 have published tuition and fees of over $24,000, with 8 in 10 being somewhere between $6,000 and over $24,000. So you can kind of get an idea for your own institution as to where you fit on that cost scale and the potential price sensitivity that you may be facing. If you move to page 5, I want to close my thoughts on this first topic with some very revealing findings of a recent study by the National Center for Public Policy in Higher Education, and particularly to draw your attention to bullets 2, 3, and 4. On this research that they have done. As you can see, the 29% believe that qualified students have the opportunity to go to college. Put another way, 71% of students have difficulty believing that even if they are qualified, that the opportunity is there. And two-thirds believe access to higher education for qualified students is an issue, is a problem, with 40% not believing that almost anyone who needs financial help to go to college can get the loans or aid that they need. So as we seek to increase access and success among students, qualifying affordability has never been more important, and certainly the net cost calculator, if used, is going to go a long way towards helping students and families early in the process really understand all of the assistance that they may receive from your institution. Moving to the second topic, an overview of the federal requirements to have a net price calculator on the institution's website and options to meet the requirement. I'm sure that all of you are on the phone here this afternoon because you're very much aware of the Higher Education Act, Opportunity Act, requiring net cost calculators that are now just a little over 2 months away. The mandate is to have the calculator up and running on your websites by the 29th of October of 2011, those that are receiving Title IV assistance. And since this mandate came out almost 2 years ago, in the fall of 2009, institutions have had at least 3 ways to respond to the federal mandate to have a net price calculator by October of 2011. And let me just take a minute, if you move to page 7, to use the government's three different ways that you could respond. Choice 1 being using the government's generic calculator. And if you move to the second slide on that page, while this calculator is free, that is to say the government's generic calculator is free and may be suitable for some institutions, I can tell you that our phone here at Noel Levitz was ringing regularly in the fall of 2009 from some of the 180-plus institutions that are using our financial aid services to help them meet their enrollment and revenue goals. And they were noting that the federal version had several important limitations that prompted their need for other external support. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but I would certainly encourage you with your team there to take a look if you are looking and intending to use the federal version to see whether or not any of these might apply to your own institution. Second choice, of course, was developing your own web-based calculator to respond to the federal mandate. And if you move to the second slide on page 8, you can see here that among the challenges identified with that do-it-yourself solution are noted here. And I can tell you that many institutions who have done a real cost comparison between the time and effort required internally have concluded that an external solution is far more cost-effective with numerous other value-added features. Just going to take a quick drink of water here. Which brings us to the third choice on options to meet the requirement, and that is certainly to use a third-party calculator that, of course, must meet the federal requirements, but at the same time is customized and branded to your institution, and very importantly, is simple for students and families to use. As I'm sure many of you know, there are any number of reputable firms that are available to assist you in not only responding to the mandate, but also using the calculator effectively to address early in the process cost and financing issues. And we would suggest the following key considerations, and this is at the bottom of page 9. Certainly, it's got to be fully federally compliant. And secondly, we think this is a great opportunity for you to provide information that influences student enrollment while also being easy and accurate for students and parents to use and, of course, easy and affordable for an institution to implement. So as you take a look, and I know there are many institutions out there that still have not fully developed their calculator, are still considering their options, and as you look at whether to use the federal version to attempt to do this internally or even to take a look at an external, these are some things that you might consider as part of that overall process. So as you take a look, internal, can you do it? What's the time invested, cost of the initial design, the requirement on the IT support, or are you going to choose to take advantage of an outside source? Moving on to number 3, which starts on page 10, on some thoughts on ways prospective students and families are likely to use the net price calculator. There's every indication that these net price calculators are going to be sought after by students and families and well used. As I indicated, we now have over 200 institutions that are taking advantage of our net price calculator, with 2/3 of those institutions published or are in the final stages of development. And to date, as you will see in another graphic that I'm going to show you, there have already been 250,000 contacts on the published calculators. So it's pretty obvious that institutions need to make this new initiative a priority this year if they have not already. I think when the publicity comes out in October regarding the availability of these, when high school counselors and other people that are assisting students, both traditional and non-traditional, with college choices, they're going to encourage them to be using these calculators, and I think that you're going to see a real surge in the number of hits. As to the use by students and families, certainly this is going to give them a chance to surf and to really make some comparisons between the real cost of attendance after receiving possible need-based and non-need-based assistance as demonstrated on your calculator. They're learning the potential affordability of those institutions that are at the top of their list, the top 2 or 3, and making the comparisons by going from one website to another and listing those bottom line costs as part of the consideration. Do we know whether parents will be involved? I can assure you. We did a refreshment of our study of parent satisfaction and priorities that we rolled out at our national conference in Denver in July. And according to the 2011 latest study, our research tells us that parents are indeed influential in their students' decision to enroll and re-enroll. The study, the most recent study, indicated that nearly 60% of prospective college students report they research college opportunities with their parents. And having a granddaughter, I can tell you that some even research with their grandparents. Fully 61% of parents report that the final decision on where to enroll is made together. And we know also in the research that we have done that when visiting an institution's website, after seeking the academic program and enrollment admissions information, as well as cost and financial aid and scholarships, are next on their list of information that they want to receive. So you've got academic program, the enrollment admissions information, and then immediately their attention turns to cost, financial aid, and scholarships that are important to them. And I can tell you, in visiting so many websites that we do as part of our enrollment opportunity analysis, that information in many cases is pretty hard to find. So that's the top of page 11. You can see the visual at the bottom of page 11 with possible use by students and families. I think that this is going to raise more than ever before the inclination to compare the bottom line cost between the different college segments, the different college options, so that students will be going and taking a look at what the real cost is, how much assistance they might receive at a public four-year versus a private four-year, at a public two-year community college or technical school, or a private two-year college, including those that are career or proprietary institutions. Also, it's going to be a great opportunity for them to learn the difference in cost if they are planning to go to school close to home, of living on campus if indeed that opportunity is available. And in some community colleges, it's available nearby with residences or with any of the private and public schools as well. Moving to 12, I can tell you that most institutions do have well-conceived and monitored awarding strategies based on need level, ability level, and then special populations. And those well-defined parameters are going to be front and center for students and families to know as they explore options as determined by the class to attend. So they will be looking at financial aid and scholarship awarding levels by those items that I've indicated on that particular sheet. And when it comes to also possible use, supporting text, hover screens, and I'm on the bottom of page 12 here, supporting text, hover screens, answers to most frequently asked questions, all embedded on the calculator, we believe are integral and critical as part of the way you present this information. And this certainly represents an excellent opportunity for students and families to learn special considerations and policies in financing and education at each institution. Be sure to cover on this the options that you have for payment plans, and even including payment plans according to the assistance that is available to students, sharing with them loan options and work-study options. And the fact that if this is indeed the case at your institution, that you're willing to make adjustments in awards as need level changes, and that you do continue gift aid beyond the first year so that there's some understanding that this is not just a one-year offer. And I think that, again, as we work with institutions and as I get on campuses, thinking this through and how a student can look at not just 1 year but 4 years is very important. So all of the above is to say, what better opportunity for students and families to get a feel and a sense, and I'm on the top of page 13 here, of how institutions approach the importance of financing and sensitivity to the major investment made by students and families. Tone in the text is very, very important. And so to that extent, I think going beyond the enrollment management, beyond the financial aid, beyond your webinar, really working with your marketing people and those that are doing your messaging is very important, because I can't emphasize enough that this is an important and a very beneficial new enrollment management tool. With 9 or 10 minutes left here in the first 30 minutes, let's move to number 4, which is at the bottom of page 13, potential challenges facing colleges and universities as a result of the calculators, particularly in institutions that award financial aid that's not based upon need. Another excellent topic suggested by Insight Higher Education. If you move to page 14, as I noted earlier, these are challenging times for all of higher education as it applies to access and success of students, and financing issues continue to really loom large in the process. As Scott noted, I have about 25 years of experience in enrollment management before I joined the Noel Levitz team here some 19 years ago. And I've had the opportunity to sit on the board of trustees of a small liberal arts college here in Iowa. And so I've seen firsthand the implications and the challenges in terms of revenue, net revenue, and then building and shaping an entering class. And so even before the current economic crisis, colleges were facing at least these six major issues in managing affordability. And again, costs continue to go up anywhere between 4 to 6% or greater each year, at the same time that we continue to have great, great concerns about the purchasing power of federal aid, the Pell Grants, the SEOG, Stafford, et cetera, that are available to students. Discounting, big issue. We're seeing in the institutions that we're working with that are trying to keep their discount rates within reason here, real pressures to be able to do that. While demographics are shifting in many of the regions of the country, including probably a number of the regions that we have institutions represented this afternoon. Borrowing, huge, huge issue, and a lot of information about the pushback on loans and the pressures that's placing on students, not only to attend college, but to pay those off in a timely way, and the resulting declining yield rates that we're seeing, with yield rates dropping from what used to be in the 40 to 50% range to closer, except to enroll students in the 30 to mid-30 range overall. So those are key issues, and I've identified, as we move to the bottom of page 14 for discussion purposes, at least 6 challenges facing institutions with the introduction of the net price calculator. Number 1, it's going to require colleges and universities to, more than ever before, be more strategic in awarding practices. And the institution is going to need to monitor closely not only yield, and what we're talking about with yield is the accept-to-enroll percentage, but also now to be able to monitor response rates associated with the calculator. And taking a look at that by the awards that you are making that students are learning about early in the process in terms of percent of need met with gift aid, and that is the scholarships and the grants, versus what we call self-help, the work and the loans. And also to really take a look between the gap between the student aid award and the expected family contribution, which you're going to be able to do. I get on so many campuses in which the resources are simply not there. The gap between what families can qualify for in the way of financial assistance and the actual resources that are available, whether it be institutional, federal, or state, are just not there. And it's the responsibility of enrollment managers and financial aid administrators to really be enlightening the administrative team, the board, and others as to what that gap is. Secondly, to determine scholarship levels and awarding policies for the next entering class in a timely manner. This is going to require some advanced thinking, and not only having on that website what the cost is going to be for students who are thinking about the institution in the fall of 2012, but at least in the fall of 2013 so that you can make some adjustments as needed if your calculator is set up to be able to do that. But the thing that you want to be sure to do is that you're providing accurate and competitive information for prospective students and families. Number three, monitoring and understanding competitor institutions, their scholarship and awarding levels. This may be a challenge for those institutions who have limited financial aid resources or are attempting to keep that discount rate low. But I can tell you that in the campuses that I've been on, there is really high interest in visiting other websites of competitor institutions to get a better understanding of how they're going about their awarding practices and how competitive they actually are so they can share that with their own administrative team. Number four, moving along quickly here, responding as possible to the ability of students and families to shop. We're going to see shopping for the best deal, I think, to even be more prominent in students' and families' minds with this increased capability. Five, being even more aware and responsive to a marketplace that promises to be even more competitive in attracting, particularly if it's important to you to have high ability students, multi-talented students, any special populations. I think that the ability for students and families to shop and compare is going to make that even more challenging in the future. And then finally, moving to 16, page 16, knowing and being responsive to the fact that students and families will be able to identify any gap between their real and perceived resources for college and the AIDS award available. So that's a little bit redundant and kind of reinforces and supports the first five. But certainly those are some of the things that we would identify as challenges and major issues that require some significant thought and response in your planning during the coming year. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of these very preliminary thoughts are included in our discussion in our final time together. Number five, on the bottom of page 16, and we've got about 2 or 3 minutes here before we open it up for questions, so let me just say, you know, with respect to the whole topic of the kinds of information colleges may want to highlight for students and families who may use the calculator, again, we believe the great majority are going to use the calculator, and we know from our own experience here that not a lot will immediately identify themselves. They're providing sensitive financial information. It's early. It's at the discovery stage. But what we have learned is that, with now almost, we just went over 250,000 contacts today on our published calculators, we're seeing 3 out of every 4 students who will at least complete, if they start it, through the scholarship estimate. So it's very, very important that there's a well-thought-through scholarship program if students are just going to your site to learn what scholarships for which they may qualify. About 4 in 10 are completing the full estimate at this particular point based upon the analytics that we are in the process of doing, with 10% saying, yes, send me the email results, and 4% that are saying, I would like to be contacted. What's significant, you know, with those institutions that have gone through already and done this, is that there are already 10,000 students out of 250,000 or 4%. that already have identified themselves as being interested and are in the process of being contacted by the institution. So this will provide you some preliminary insight on usage based on those institutions who have been testing and modifying their calculator to encourage responses past year. So I'm going to take a deep breath here. We're now at the bottom of 17.
And so I'm going to interrupt briefly and ask our operator to explain to our listeners how they can indicate that they'd like to ask a question.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound sign. Once again, to ask a question on the phone lines, press star, then the number 1.
And another way to ask questions, if you don't want to be identified or have your institution identified, you may email me at info@insidehighered.com, and you're welcome to describe the kind of institution you're at, say a small private college or a large state university, but I will not identify your institution by name or you by name. Info@insidehighered.com. Back to you, Peter, for the final section.
Good. As these questions are coming in, let me just, I'm not going to read to you all of these suggestions on ways that you may wish to highlight the following messages as part of this, but it's our feeling that this represents a huge new opportunity to set this tone early in the process. And while this list there at the bottom of page 17 is certainly not exhaustive, it is designed to help you to begin thinking about what you want to highlight in the supplementary text. And there are tremendous opportunities for supplementary text and hover screens in other ways that you explain, answering questions, and setting the tone all throughout the calculator. But one of the things that I want to point out is the more that you can assure students that they should not be ruling out an education at your institution before getting further information or talking with a counselor or financial aid advisor, again, is, I think, extremely important. I think the financial aid process for so many students and families has become somewhat intimidating. And so I think, again, this is your opportunity to say, hey, we're here for you. We can really assist you. And we really are sensitive to the challenges that you face in the great, great majority of students and families in financing and education. The other thing is, why not take this opportunity to talk outcomes and value of the education at your institution as a part of this, so that they're not just looking at cost, but they're really taking a look and having a better understanding of the value. So we move to the last section and quickly, and I'm just going to point out a few things on some thoughts on how to use the calculator to engage students. In the interaction that I have had with a number of our participating student institutions, I've really been encouraged that the calculator is being viewed by many not as a federal mandate, but as a new initiative, a new opportunity to identify and pursue students early in the process who are seriously interested in the institution. We know that more and more students are quickly, because they have access to the website and other information, they're what we may term stealth applications. In fact, our research shows that 1 in 4 students now do not identify themselves as an inquiry, writing, phoning, sending a test score, emailing, seeing in the high school college fair before they go to application. So the first time that you even know they exist is at the time they apply. Here is a chance to build a whole nother field in terms of inquiries and to begin a meaningful conversation on the importance and value of your institution. I have listed here 10 quick ideas to stimulate your thinking on engaging students and families starting at the top of page 19 and paying for college. But without question, we feel that it's very important to monitor the completion rate related to the time it takes to complete the calculator. We're seeing a direct correlation between completion and the number of questions and the number of the amount of detail that's required. So monitor that and see, is it influencing, by the way you've put your calculator together, either internally or in cooperation with an external source, to see, are you getting the results that you want? Have the net price calculator placed in an easy-to-find prominent place. I can tell you that those that can be found on the website will be used. And just as one example, we have a relatively small institution that has the calculator prominently placed on the homepage. And what's the result when it's right there? They already have 15,600 hits with over 6,100 completes. If you've got a positive message to tell, and if you've got your calculator well thought through, your awarding practices well thought through, and you believe that you can assist students in the financing of their education, don't bury this. Make it prominent. Third, through other communications, such as mailings, personal contact, we know a lot of institutions that are developing individual messages to drive students to the calculator on their website to take the mystery and the sticker shock out of that whole issue. And you can see here, due to time, I'm not going to read the last six. We can talk about these important, those that are important to you as part of the idea session. But there are just so many new opportunities here that we're excited about that we think that if you take the time, you will be excited about as well, not the least of which here is number five, that with many calculators, you're going to have some excellent behind-the-curtain enrollment reports to be able to really get a sense of students that are interested and are a good fit so that you can pursue them. So again, Scott, I'm not gonna keep on going with the last here, but really open it up for discussion.
Thank you very much, Peter, for that great overview. I've got a bunch of questions here that have come in by email, some covering the same ground and some of the more sensitive issues, I think. But before I dive into those, operator, could you again tell our listeners how they can pose questions?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question on the phone lines, please press star, then one on your touch-tone telephone.
Okay, so I'm going to sort of combine a few questions that are covering similar ground. Several people are asking questions about merit aid and the difficulties if you don't award merit aid on any sort of formula. So if you are subjective in your merit aid, how can you make the calculator accurate?
So if there's only need-based assistance, then what you're doing is you're saying that if it comes to any scholarship or for academic reasons or talent awards that the institution may be awarding that are based upon need, I think it's a matter then of really kind of leading with the financial aid side to let them know. With the calculator that we've put together, and I must admit that I haven't gone and visited other calculators that are out there, but the thought was that if you do have assistance that is at least a minimum that's based upon student achievement, whether it be academic or talent, leading with that kind of information can be a real positive. And as I indicated earlier, we've got three out of every four students that at least want to know that information. So the whole issue that if you don't award merit assistance and your competition is awarding merit assistance, but if it's at a minimum and not necessarily based on need, what we see some institutions doing to help students to understand that you do recognize achievement is at least giving merit minimums with any additional assistance being based very much upon need so that they do have the dollars for grants. There are other institutions that have it all in merit aid and they're not really taking a look at the percent of need met and the percent of need met that are with gift aid. And I think that that can be just as, challenging for a student to really understand how much they qualify for.
Thank you. Operator, could we have the next question on the phone line, please?
Certainly. We have a question on the line from Christina Hudson of University of Delaware. Your line is open.
So on one of the slides, it mentions about regularly tracking and reviewing the net price calculator analytics to essentially modify your communication stream. And I wanted to know if you could provide some exact examples on the type of analysis that you would do with the MPC data.
Yeah, I think that many, thank you very much for that question, and we're thinking about you there in Delaware today and all those on the East Coast with the pending hurricane. So thoughts and prayers are with you all. I think that one of the beauties of many established calculators is that they are making a point of being able to have institutions monitor every click, every response that a student makes once they enter the website and they begin the whole process. A date stamp, when they start, where they stop, and whether they identify themselves or not, you're going to have the benefit on an Excel spreadsheet, at least with some that are out there, as to the students by need level, ability level, in-state, out-of-state, and you can begin really getting a better sense of the kinds of students who are expressing an interest in your institution and those that are following through and asking to be contacted. With those responses, I think that then you can go back, and again, with some calculators, you can modify this as often as you want. This is not a static instrument, but something that really can be adjusted as you see the kind of response rates that you're getting and the kinds of response rates from students, and any of the other information that you're providing on your website to explain the context of what you're trying to accomplish in giving them the information to qualify affordability at your institution. So if this is the intent of your question, I hope that it's helpful. I think the related messages regarding what you're trying to do to make sure that they should not rule out an education without first qualifying the affordability and talking with an appropriate staff person is really key as part of the process.
Thank you. Another question that has come in via email, are you concerned about situations where parents enter inaccurate information in the calculator and then later in the process when they're given an actual award, it is not equal?
I think this is the ongoing fear. We've been working with institutions now since 1993, with a number of them having some version of this cost calculator. And the biggest concern, obviously, of financial aid directors is the student who said, well, you provided me with this information, and now I'm getting this kind of an award package. The great thing is that's a part of this. If the student does indeed identify themselves, you will have a record as part of the behind-the-curtain reports, if you will, of exactly what kind of information they entered in terms of any of the income as well as other specifics that are required as part of the federal calculation. So there can be a record there if there is a real variation between the FAFSA and what's reported on the FAFSA and the kind of information that the student may have provided as part of the calculator. Many calculators will also enable the student to go through and play with it. They can enter in a 3.5 GPA with a 1250 board score or a 28 ACT, and they can go back and say, okay, if I improve to a 3.7, what kind of aid am I going to get? And if I improve my scores accordingly, is this going to really change the amount of assistance from gift aid versus self-help that I'm going to qualify for from institutional and other sources?
Peter, I want to just ask a question myself, sort of related to that. These are obviously tough financial times for many colleges. What if a college's finances change and they opt to give less aid in general? Are they basically locking themselves in if they indicate a certain level of support at the calculator?
Great question, Scott. And what we're finding, and in fact, if you take a look at virtually all of the published calculators that we have worked with, estimate is used over and over and over again, and with even some institutions putting it definitely in red and having qualifiers in there that this is an estimate based upon the information that you have provided and our current awarding practices. So I think that the intent of the calculator is to really help students and families better understand generally that, you know, what is involved in terms of college assistance and what their expected family contribution is going to be. But I think that institutions, rightly so, are being very careful to note that this is a point in time and it is an estimate to help them to have a better understanding. And the next step is, if you're seriously interested, we need to begin that conversation and to let you know just how we go about the awarding process and what's important to us and what some of the key considerations are, you know, as we take a look at our overall financial situation. You know, many institutions right now are subject to real fluctuating support from state sources as well as the federal sources. So they've got to be quick to really note that these are estimates at this point in time with a changing picture based upon the economy.
Thank you. I've got another email question. This is a question about slide 13, and the question is, you say that tone in the text is important. What are some things to avoid or some things to do with regard to tone?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a great question, too, when we talk about tone. You know, I think, and I don't want this to sound the way it's going to sound if there are some on the phone here that may take this wrong, but I think that the more you can take away the bureaucratic aspect of this and really build in, as institutions do with wonderful websites and printed pieces and personal communications, the overall look and feel of the institution in terms of the support that's available to students and the caring attitude on the campus. You certainly want to do this with your calculator as well, rather than just simply being very, very, I can't think of any other word other than bureaucratic at this point in the language that you are using. So our strong encouragement is to very much involve the web people, the marketing people, so that the way you're presenting this really does reflect the way you're talking to students in other communications that you have routinely, whether they be printed, they be electronic, whether they be in person when a student visits the campus. And there's so many ways to do that, just in the introduction page, in the way that you are presenting the sections, in your hover screens to explain what each of these items are, to answer the most frequently asked questions. This goes more than just dropping something in that is just a pure calculator.
Here's another question. I'm getting all the sensitive ones, or more sensitive ones, I guess, by email. How visible should you be about the availability of scholarships that are only for members of some minority or ethnic groups?
Wow. You know, I probably should defer to one of our 15 financial aid consultants on these kind of issues, but I think, again, as you find out, just in your questions section, that that you have, you're going to be asking, are you a legacy? You can ask as many questions as you want at the outset that then directs students who respond to those questions in terms of how you build in the award that you are providing. So if you do have special population awards, if the student, if you wish to ask that at this point in the process, versus waiting to later if the student is genuinely interested in giving a good understanding of all the assistance that is available, but if you prefer to have that up front, you can ask those questions, and if the student responds, then it's going to come up in the results page, whether it be at the scholarship stage or at the final results page when you have the total aid as well as the scholarships and grants and gift aid, that student qualified for that special kind of scholarship. The caution, you know, is going back to we are currently monitoring the completion rates by the number of questions and the detail that are posed early on in the process. And it's the general consensus here, and the jury's still out, we're early in this whole process in getting our institutions up and running, is that the more questions and the more detail that you ask, the fewer students will get through to complete. But at the same time, the issue is, and the reason for my wow, you want to make sure that those students, and you may know who they are through the search that you're doing and the more proactive role that you take in driving them to your calculator, the more questions that you ask that are direct on that may again be a reason that some students don't complete it.
I've got another delicate one for you. You can see why we give people the option of sending these in via email. We already have a problem with many aid applicants coming and telling us what they have heard other applicants are receiving in aid and then asking us why we can't match that. Do you anticipate more of this problem once aid calculators are being used, and how should we deal with it?
Huge issue, and I don't think that we really know yet just what all the implications are, but I certainly brought that up in a couple of the slides, that this is going to be more competitive than ever because students are going to be able to walk in and show what Institution X versus Institution Y versus Institution Z is offering. I think this is going to require institutions to be more strategic, more definite than ever before in what kinds of awards for which kinds of students by ability and that they're going to be able to offer. And there will be some that they'll never be able to compete with because these institutions may have the resources and or the priorities to be able to pursue those. But I think part of it is really having that plan, knowing the plan, monitoring the results, using the advantage of very, very sophisticated tools that are out there now to understand yield rate by need level, by ability level, by percent of need met, with gift aid versus self-help. And just realize you're not going to be able to get all the students that you would like. But I think that it also then prompts the opportunity to take this information to the administrative team as well as to the board to let them know the extent to which you're in a highly competitive marketplace with going head-to-head with other institutions that do indeed have the resources and the will to be able to attract the students that would be a good fit for your institution. I'm sorry that's not more encouraging, but I think that's what's going to make this year so interesting and challenging. And institutions will be able to go to those top 5 or 10 competitor institutions, fill out one of those calculators with filling in information as if they were a prospective student, to see just how their awards compare with others at those competing institutions.
Should be very interesting to watch. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for questions today. We are going to be sending all of the listeners an evaluation form so you can tell us what you thought of today's presentation and also suggest topics for future presentations. I want to thank our listeners for excellent questions. And Peter, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. To our any listeners on the East Coast, wishing you a safe weekend as you deal with Irene. To everyone, have a good day.